Maryland public schools have been rated in the top five around the country, but they still face serious challenges. There's, of course, the budget battle in Annapolis, but the poverty rate for students has grown from around 22% in 1990 to around 45%. Meanwhile, Maryland schools will be judged by a new five-star rating system beginning next year. It's a requirement under the new federal Every Student Succeeds Act. A plan must be submitted to the U.S. Department of Education. We talked with Betty Weller, president of the Maryland State Education Association, about the state of public education.
Well, in terms of achievement, I'm seeing that Maryland still ranks among the top five states in the country, but we all know that there are still issues we have to deal with. We have more challenging students than we've ever had before in terms of needs due to poverty, special education, things like that. And schools are constantly being asked to do more with less in terms of funding. We know in Maryland, we've been told by an independent auditor that we have $2.9 billion in unmet needs. And I suspect a lot of that is because of the changing student demographics and the economic situation that the country is in. So despite all of that, we're not doing too badly, but there are areas certainly where we can improve.
What kinds of problems do you encounter with such a large number of students who live in poverty?
Students, many of them don't have the opportunities they might have otherwise had. Parents can't take them on vacations. They don't send them to camps. They don't have preschool. If it's not already provided and they have to pay for it, the children don't get it. It also means that children don't get the nutrition they need. Possibly they don't have the health care they need. And if a child comes to school hungry or sick, that means they're not ready to learn.
Taking a look at the budget, how do you assess the kind of budget you're getting? And I know there's been some discussion about setting aside money for instance, for vouchers, while there's some withholding some $25 million from public schools. How do you assess that battle going on in Annapolis?
In Maryland, this centers a lot around private school vouchers and maybe private charter schools. Most of our charter schools are actually public schools in Maryland. But when you take $5.5 million out of our budget and give it to districts like urban districts where there are more private schools, then that means children on the Eastern Shore actually may suffer because there are relatively few private school options on the Eastern Shore. So the education pot is only so big, and when you start taking money out of it, that means other schools get less. So taking several million out from our public schools to give to private schools only means larger class sizes, more outdated materials, things like that for our public schools.
So is this an issue of just simply budget numbers that the state is facing, or is there a real difference of opinion between, say, your teachers folks on the one hand and, say, the governor on the other?
I think there's a difference of opinion, too. There is no evidence out there that shows that private schools or charter schools overall outperform public schools. And certainly if parents want to send their children to private schools, they can do that. But public dollars should be spent on public schools. And our public schools often outperform private schools.
There's supposed to be a new rating system for the various public schools. Outline that for us in terms of what you guys are looking for when you rate a school.
The State Board is voting on a plan right now, the final draft for the implementation of this. And what should happen here is that schools are not only going to be judged based on test scores like they were under No Child Left Behind, but they're also going to be judged on attendance rates, on surveys that are completed by parents and teachers, and on whether every student has access to a well-rounded curriculum. So it's not just, you know, what comes out of a child when they're given a piece of paper or a computer and asked to provide information. It's whether or not they had the tools going into that test to get the information that they needed and to perform well on these tests.
Now, I understand you've had some success, at least, at rolling back some of the amount of time that's spent in dealing with testing. Is the rollback enough, or are we at the right point in terms of testing, or would you like to see less than what we're doing right now?
Well, the rollback is some people will tell you it's not a rollback, that most of the districts were under that cap anyway, and if that's the case, that's fine. We, as teachers, know that you can't expect children to learn if there's not somebody there teaching them, and a test doesn't necessarily teach. It takes up instructional time, so we're happy that there's now a cap on testing. We also recognize that testing is a vital part of what educators do so that we can determine if our students are moving forward. Is that the right number? I'm not sure, but it will make certain that our kids do more than just test, that they are really getting experiential learning and well-rounded curriculum and many of the things that kind of got shortchanged because we were so focused on testing.
Betty Weller, president of the Maryland State Education Association. This is Don Rush for Delmarva Public Radio.